The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're really happy you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Sarah DeBruin. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on the program this morning. Randy's playing golf, took the day off, but Sarah's joining us. And we have a wonderful guest for you this morning. It's going to be a very interesting program. Joe Nagin of Bath Fan Solutions is our guest. And we're going to be talking about how he developed a new product and took it to market. So if you're interested in intellectual property, big contracts, molds, producing machinery, and laying out all the details necessary to take a new product to market, stay tuned because we're going to be talking to Joe in just a moment. I just want to mention quickly that the show is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score chapter, and we couldn't bring this show to you each weekend without the support of you, our listening audience, and also the many sponsors who help promote the program each weekend. And we will be naming them a little later in the show. If you have a question for Joe, please give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, you can reach us on the TDS Metricom toll-free line. That number is 866-887-1150. And so, good morning, Joe Nagin. How are you doing this morning, Joe?
Real good, Tony. Thank you for having me back.
You bet. Joe is a repeat. We've had him on the program before, but he has such an exciting thing going, we wanted to kind of get an update and a progress report on where things are. Joe, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your industry, your expertise, and tell us what your company does. What do you do?
Okay, Tony and Sarah. Originally, when I was here about 6 months ago on the show, I was basically talking about my consulting business at that time, where I'm involved in new construction, residential, a building performance analysis and failure analysis, heavily into mechanical ventilation systems. But this time around, we're probably going to talk about a product I developed while in my long record of time in the mechanical background with home building technology services. I've got about 38 years in the residential construction industry with research and development. I've been very fortunate to be involved with Focus on Energy here in the state of Wisconsin in the New Homes Program. I'm still heavily involved in that as well. And over that course of time in my private consulting business, I've developed a product that I want to take to market. So since the last time I was here talking about the consulting business, I was able to work on that launch of a new product and all the effort it took to get that from concept to actually manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to focus on energy program for a minute, you more than just participate in it. I think you're a co-author of the Focus on Energy program.
Yes, I've been involved with Focus on Energy, the New Homes program, since its inception in 1999. I was one of the original co-authors, and then when we rebranded the program in 2011, I stayed involved with that, and I'm still heavily involved as well as technical director.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say you're in the residential contracting business, your focus on that is HVAC and pressure?
Well, in our work, including our New Homes program, but in my private consulting business, we concentrate on helping people at the design stage of a new home in terms of overall building performance, whether it's just heating and cooling costs, comfort-related issues, moisture, long-term durability, operating costs, things of that nature. So we primarily do consulting. We don't do any building.
Mm-hmm.
And in that relationship over the years, working with hundreds of builders statewide, we were able to pull out some pretty good information and come up with some pretty good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have Bath Fans. There's one of the areas that you have a specialty in?
Well, mechanical ventilation always kind of piqued my interest, and yes, the issue with indoor air quality, moisture control. I mean, you look at how many people just go to take a bath and they can't even get the moisture out of the
right
bathroom. They're carving themselves up trying to shave in the morning because they can't see in the mirror. So I kind of took a real heavy interest on mechanical ventilation systems and looking at how things are currently designed, how they actually do or don't work in the installed condition, and then looking at what customers really expected and then analyzed what manufacturers were doing in response to that.
You know, your focus on energy really spurred home building to be so solid. You really need that expertise in ventilation when you're doing building these days.
Well, yes, Sarah, it's interesting because everybody in the industry that's related to comfort in new homes, energy efficiency, and so forth, recognize that we have to make homes as tight as possible, yet most homeowners will throw up their arms and say, well, wait a minute, I heard or I saw something on the internet that I'm going to have a moisture problem if I do that. But in most cases that we've been able to analyze, most of the time their basic ventilation equipment, even a basic bath fan, a lot of times just simply doesn't move much air.
So you found a solution.
Well, I was able to...
You designed a solution.
Yeah, I was able to look at the complete system because bath fans by themselves, you can't really buy a bad one. But when you take them home and put them in the building, you have to hook up some ductwork. There's got to be a termination fitting to get it out of the building.
Like a vent.
Yeah, whether you go out the roof or a gable end.
Sure.
And when I analyzed what was out there and what the current market situation was, I came up with an idea for a new product that would help that overall performance issue, and then I went on the path of taking that to market, which was pretty interesting.
Joe, just for a chronological perspective, how long ago did you start thinking about this idea? It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been quite a while overall, but then on this particular product that we're hopefully going to talk about a little bit, it's been about a year and a half since I started actually with the inception, design, and patent application, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe the product?
It's a termination fitting for venting a bath fan, but out of a soffit, out your overhang of the roof.
Sure.
Because you can go out the roof, you could go out the gable end, or you could go out the soffit. But my perspective is that the soffit termination location provides the most benefit in terms of the shortest duct system, mm-hmm. no moisture issue with rainwater. It's under the overhang, things of that nature.
Right.
And the overall performance seems to be much better.
Right. Joe, you're not unlike a lot of people who have an idea. They think about something and they think they have a solution or a better way to do it, a better mousetrap. But I think what's unique about your experience is you have so many years of experience in that industry. How many homes have you tested for ventilation?
Well, it's certainly into the thousands if you look at the individual
sure.
number of bath fans, figuring
sure.
there's 2.7 on average per home. So we've certainly got
sure.
accumulated enough information to determine reliably what the real problem was, where the opportunity lied in terms of providing a solution that would fit the widest market.
Sure.
And the problem is the fan is working, but it's not pulling the air through the system all the way out to the,
well, that's right.
the ventilation
yeah.
end.
I have a pretty good mechanical background with automobiles. So if you take your car, no matter what kind you drive, and you go out there and bend over the tailpipe or smash the exhaust pipe, no matter how good the motor is, no matter how good the transmission is, you can't get the power to the tires. So we have to look at a bath fan as something as simple as a bath fan the same way. The air has got to go through some ductwork, and then the ductwork has to be connected to a fitting on the outside. Any one of those components can impact what the fan actually does.
So you designed a fitting for the outside, mm-hmm. and you also designed a process for hooking it all together and making the system more efficient.
Right.
And then you lay that all out in great detail. You mentioned something about patent. Mm-hmm. Have you gone through that process?
Oh, yes. That was interesting by itself, too. So obviously, with the number of years I have in my consulting business and the relationships I've established with major manufacturers of equipment, I was able to conclude that what I actually had come up with for the idea wasn't clued valid, and we validated it through multiple test runs and interactions with the manufacturers. So I figured I better take and try and protect that intellectual property and that design. So then we initiated the activity with a patent attorney and started that. And that was interesting all in itself, too.
Sure. And fundamentally, you know, intellectual property and patent, a patent is for developing when someone has developed a new invention that mm-hmm. really solves an existing problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what your product did.
Well, you're correct, Sarah, but what was interesting is after actually going through the first office action, as they call it, you know, you work with a patent attorney, they provide the documents for the application. But then the examiner takes a look at it and comes back with what they call an office action. But it was really interesting because the examiner comes back and they reference all of these different products that are out there. And then they'll write something like, well, your first claim, if you would look at the teachings of this gentleman and the teachings of this gentleman by their either previous work that even isn't patented, it doesn't need to be a patented piece of information.
Sure, sure.
They could say it would be obvious to someone skilled in the art that they could conclude with the item that you came up with. So that was sort of frustrating at first because they look at everything that's available, even items that are outside of your product category. And then they keep saying that, okay, with this piece of information combined with this, it would be obvious to someone skilled in the art. And that would kind of ground me for a little bit there.
Sure.
But we worked through that.
That's the legal test, really, for whether something can be patented.
Right.
It can't be obvious.
Yep.
It can't be out in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was also pretty interesting when I started looking at it after I got a little frustrated early on with that information. I looked on the patent website, and then when they described the actual examiner's job, and it made it a little better feeling that it said the examiner's job is to actually make sure that your patent, if it's granted, is defendable.
Yeah.
So that they're actually an advocate for you, not trying to prevent you from getting a patent. So they're trying to look at everything that's out there, helping you with your claims to make sure that it's a substantially valid claim and that there isn't anything previously out there. So I felt a little better after that.
Joe, I think you did what a lot of folks should always do on almost anything in life is look at the big picture. And you realize that patent attorneys, the examining attorney's role is to make sure that if they grant the patent, you can defend it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just trying to get in your way and prevent you from having
it.
They're taking you down roads and thinking about things that maybe you never thought about and make sure that when it is granted, it's unique, like Sarah mentioned, and it's defendable.
Well, and I've talked to quite a few people since I started this project, and a lot of them didn't even pay a patent attorney to do a patent search, which is terrible. And I asked some folks, they said, well, I'm doing that all on my own. But without knowing how that works from the examiner's perspective, someone doing this on their own on the website might only look at your unique product category when, in fact, the examiner looks at items. The last office action we had, the gentleman actually sent back references to the dashboard of an automobile.
The vent on
and
the dash.
And a vacuum cleaner. And we kind of laughed at first, but it was all relevant in terms of the claims and the legal jargon.
Sure,
so
sure.
You really need to line yourself up with someone really skilled in the patent world as far as the attorney to help you work through those.
And they have special databases they actually can search, not available to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important point that an attorney practicing before the patent bar has those special resources.
Mm-hmm. And then we were careful to not actually commit any funds to actually manufacture anything until we were sure that there wasn't something out there already. We kept going with the manufacturing ideas and all the issues we had to work through.
Another important point is that your claims in your patent, you mentioned, they have to relate to the product ultimately that you're going to be producing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important point. You may have a patent out there, but if your claims don't cover your product, it doesn't mean anything.
We're on the second office action on this one right now. Yeah,
I think it brings out the point that anybody who's entrepreneurial and has an idea, be prepared for an education because you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to have a good advisor, a good legal counsel when you're dealing with a patent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money invested there.
Yeah.
And you want to be sure you can get it right. We're going to take our first break right now, Joe. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHailing.com. Alberts & Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You found the new house you love.
Oh, this place is amazing.
So, what do you do next? Come to Fox. It's the first step towards your new home happy dance.
Oh, yeah, this house is ours.
Yes.
Get the best loan rates, local servicing, and step-by-step home buying assistance from the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. With Fox, you can get more home with lower payments, faster loan payoff with bi-weekly payment options, and help from local experts who are as excited as you are to help you get the home of your dreams.
Guess what? You got the loan.
And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Talk to Fox and do your new home happy dance. Fox, helping you make life happen. Now with 19 locations. Equal housing opportunity lender. Apply online today. Visit foxcu.org.
Fox Communities.
And welcome back to Score Biz Talk this morning. We're glad you joined us. Our guest is Joe Nagin of Bat Fan Solutions, and we're talking about how he is taking and begun the process of a new product to market. Before we continue our conversation with Joe, we'd like to tell you a little bit about a Fox City Score chapter. We are one of about 358 chapters around the country. The Fox City Score chapter services an 8-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac, and we provide free and confidential mentoring to startup businesses and existing businesses. We have 55 volunteers in our chapter, all business people with various areas of expertise: marketing, legal, accounting, banking, HR, product flow, manufacturing. So if you're thinking of starting a business, or if you are in business and you're looking for some help to take advantage of an opportunity or maybe overcome a challenge you're facing right now, consider contacting SCORE at foxcities.score.org. Fill out the application for mentoring assistance. A mentor will be getting back to you within about 24 hours, setting up your first meeting. And please remember that mentoring from SCORE is for the life of your business, not just one meeting. It's mentoring for the life of your business as long as you need it. So, Joe, let's get back to the conversation. We were talking a little bit in the first segment about the value and the importance of patent and the timeliness of all of that. But you can't really put your whole business on hold while that process is playing itself out. That could take 3-4 years to get that done. So you have to keep things moving along. And being a good juggler, you have to not drop any of the balls you're juggling. Tell us how you continue to develop that product and eventually find that manufacturer that you have a contract with.
Okay. Thank you on that one. What was interesting is that with as many relationships as I've built over the years in the residential construction industry, quite a few of those are with manufacturers. I do some consulting for some manufacturers of equipment, so there's a lot of interaction there. And so I was always looking that down the road I could maybe make a connection for distribution and sales with one of these large manufacturers. But in the meanwhile, I had to look at, okay, I have this product. I got to get this manufactured. Am I going to just sub all that out? Am I going to follow that through? So I was fortunate enough. I have a business advisor on new product development that helps me. They've been with me for over 3 years. I have a CAD designer gentleman that does all my CAD design work. I have a financial analyst, a financial advisor. I have a legal advisor, and both of them happen to be sitting with me here today. And so I've got a pretty good group, but I, as you mentioned earlier, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And there are so many small items that you could get hung up with going through the manufacturing process that I needed to rely on people that have had that experience. Yeah,
maybe you could pick up on some of those issues that you ran into during the process. It's just not research and development, but then where do you go with that?
Sure. Well, obviously, you need to have the product manufactured. So since this is going to be a plastic injection part that would be injection molded, mm-hmm. we had to come up with a mold manufacturer, a manufacturer then to do the actual injection molding. So we had quite a learning curve during that process. Then we had the whole legal side of it in terms of, okay, what am I going to do with this business entity? What am I going to do when I finally find a sales avenue? What would I do for distribution? So early on, one of the partnerships or relationships I have with a large international manufacturer of equipment, they came to me and asked me if I had something going. They had heard that I was working on something and asked me if I would be interested in partnering with them to take my new product to market. So that was a real excellent opportunity because I do like to watch the show Shark Tank, mm-hmm. and they're always beating people up about, okay, how are you going to distribute this thing? What's your plan for distribution to get it out there? So I had a relationship going with a large international manufacturer of bath fans, and they approached me about taking my product on. So that was a relief. We had to work through the legal side of that contractual arrangement, and that took well over a year itself, just a year of nonstop back and forth on that. And then at the same time, we were juggling the whole issue of, okay, how are we going to manufacture this product? Are we going to just have somebody do that? Are we going to organize that ourselves? So we decided to organize that ourselves. And working with my advisory group and some Wisconsin manufacturers, we were able to pull that all off.
Yeah, you didn't want to get into the position of having to buy equipment and produce all these parts.
Right.
It's much easier and more efficient to hire that out, sub it out to this big company that you're talking about, and other smaller players to build a mold and produce the product.
Right.
And you've avoided having to manage a lot of inventory through this process.
Right. Yeah, the partnership that I have with this large international manufacturer to take my product to market for me was a huge relief mm-hmm. because then all I had to do, well, not all, but then we just simply had to concentrate on, okay, getting this thing up and manufacturing on a schedule. Again, and that took all I could do because I'm still running my consulting business at the same time. So it was quite an effort, but I relied on a lot of people to help me out.
Joe, you're one of the few people I know who successfully stretched a 168-hour week into 250 and still get everything done and sleep at night. You've worked very hard at it, so a lot of learning along the way.
Yeah.
We're going to take our next break right now as a short segment, but we'll be back on the other side for about 20 minutes. And you're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back to BizTalk. We're talking this morning with Joe Nagin. Joe is the owner of Bath Fan Solutions, and we're talking about a new product that he has designed and developed, and he's taking it to market. Before we continue with Joe, just want to tell you a little bit more about our SCORE chapter. In addition to the free and confidential mentoring that I mentioned in the first segment or in the second segment there, we also offer seminars and various educational programs throughout the year. We're really happy to share with you that on June 13th, this coming month, June 13, from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. at the Fox Cities Chamber, one of our very own mentors, Barry Hoops, is going to do a presentation on HR issues. And if you're ready to hire, learn the do's and don'ts of recruiting, what to consider before hiring, and the mandatory record-keeping and tax reporting with new hires, you're going to benefit by attending this, especially those employers who have between 1 and 50 employees. So again, Barry Hoops, with over 10 years of experience in HR, is going to be doing a presentation on hiring employees and writing an effective employee manual. Fox City's Chamber, 6 to 8:30 p.m. on June 13th in the evening. Cost is $15, and we ask you to register at foxcities.score.org. I believe there's room for about 25 people. So it's going to be very helpful and very informative, especially in these times with all of the HR issues that employers are facing.
Yep, the legal issues are really developing right now.
Yes,
not a new development.
So if you haven't had employees before and you're looking to hire, this is a must. If you have employees you want to review, this is a must. Again, foxcities.score.org, check it out, and you can register at that website. If you have a question for Joe this morning, please give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, you can reach us on a TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150. I imagine Jerry's listening, and he'll probably be calling in this morning. He usually does. Joe, we were talking in the previous segments, but let's talk about the business plan process. And during all of this time that you had this idea and then things began to unfold for you, you embarked on a business plan. Tell us about that experience and how important is that process for you?
Well, that was an eye-opener and a good learning curve, Tony, because I had never written a business plan before, even though I run my own consulting business, which was easy to do. It didn't take any capital, really, to fire that off. But now, because we're talking about manufacturing, five separate injection molds at a substantial price, I knew I had to get financing. So then the business plan was absolutely necessary, not only to approach the lending industry, but to do what you're supposed to do, be able to manage your path from start to finish and make adjustments. So working with several of my advisors, they put together a draft business plan for me, just the high topic level, and then I worked on it. I did all the financial planning with some proprietary software that I had bought and was able to work my way through that. We went through several revisions on the business plan. And then once we got it where we felt it was ready to take to the banks, then we approached several local bankers.
Mm-hmm. What are the components you put in that business plan? Obviously, your research in the industry, your plan for the supply chain of developing your product, and what did you? What was the most important part of your business plan,
well,
do you think?
I believe all of it, Sarah, was extremely important based on standard business plan writing. But the one that actually tripped me up in the end, downstream a little bit, was the fact that on your go-to-market and your sales projections, my initial sales is going to be with this large international manufacturer, but my agreement with them is limited to a period of time, not the full length of the loan I was applying for. And with the current market in the banking industry, they didn't want to help me with the financing. So sales projections certainly are extremely critical. But I included all the research. All the bankers we talked to were extremely impressed with the extensive research that we had done, not only on the industry, but particularly on the product that we were asking financing for. So I was very comfortable with that. But it was a good learning curve, because then you really had to think out this process. Okay, you just can't squirt out an idea, expect somebody to throw a pile of money at it, and then expect people to pound your door down. So it was really an eye-opener for me personally to put all those ducks in a row with the help of several advisors.
You didn't go on Shark Tank, so you really needed that business plan, and numbers were a huge part of it.
That's right.
Joe, the business plan is always, as you pointed out earlier in one of your comments, it isn't for the banker, it's for the entrepreneur. And when the entrepreneur goes to the bankers, to the lenders, and they present their business plan and answer questions from the lenders, they have to be able to demonstrate a pretty thorough understanding of how the cash is flowing, what are the assumptions supporting it, what are the risks of failure. And you had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened in the end was the lenders thought, if I could use an analogy, if I go get a mortgage loan for 30 years, but I'm only going to work for 10 years, the lenders aren't going to want to give me a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like what you referred to about the contract with the major manufacturer didn't go out as long as loan was going to be amortized, but they never do. I don't know of any business owner who has a contract with a manufacturer that goes out that long. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that you were facing with the lenders, and they all did a marvelous job in trying to evaluate your plan and see if they could do something, was it was a startup venture. It wasn't, you didn't have a history. There was no track record. You're building it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a year or two, every one of those lenders would be pounding on your door saying, hey, can I have another crack at that one?
Let's just hope that.
That's what we hope for. Absolutely.
Right.
But that's what the desired outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
But not every entrepreneur has the ability to go to a lender for the kind of money you were looking for, which was over $100,000, and build those molds and the working capital and so on, and get an approval.
Yeah.
But instead of a lender, we found an investor. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, and I was very fortunate. And again, with the relationships that I developed in many years, especially in the last couple of years while I've been working on this project, both Sarah and Tony are part of my group. There are so many people that you need to be in contact with because they know so many other people. So especially I've been very fortunate that Sarah and Tony are both involved in SCORE. And they made me aware of just a network of people available in the Fox Valley, not only through the SCORE group for mentoring, but also some folks that are available to help other startup companies like myself with the financing. Mm-hmm. So we were able to find a local investor that came forward and looked at our business plan, talked to us quite a bit about it, and felt that it was a good opportunity for them to help me get started, and we found a local investor that pulled this off for us.
Mm-hmm. And so now the process has begun. The molds have been ordered.
Right.
And they're not cheap. And when you describe molds to Sarah and me and other folks, it's like the typical consumer has no idea mm-hmm. what molds can produce in this economy, a plastic cup.
Mm-hmm.
Parts in a car, plastic parts in a car, probably metal parts,
mm-hmm.
all comes out of molds. What was the process for building a mold like?
Well, that too was an extensive learning curve because initially we knew that it was going to be plastic injection molded, polypropylene. So we approached a couple of manufacturers or actual injection molding companies, asked them, who they have provide their injection molds. And then we took that lead and then went to start working directly with an injection mold manufacturer here in Wisconsin. But halfway through that process, the actual gentleman at this company here in Wisconsin took me off to the side and said, hey, Joe, this looks like this thing is getting pretty close. He said, do you have the injection molder lined up, the people that are actually going to run our molds? Squirt the plastic, as they call it.
Produce the product.
And make the parts. I said, no, not yet. And he said, well, you really should be doing this through the injection molding company so that they have input in our design of the molds, because otherwise you'd be asking them to run your tooling. And just like hunting or fishing, everybody can get the same game in the end, but they have a different method of getting there. So that was a major shift, and I immediately then made a change in direction and then went to an injection molder and had them actually broker the molds so that they were directly responsible for the mold development working with the tool manufacturer.
That makes all the sense in the world because a producer who's using the mold has equipment that he puts the mold into. So he wants to make sure the mold has the features that will fit into his equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That's your point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was, and then at that time, I was worried that it would change all of my financial projections. I had already given some pricing out for this large international partner, but it turned out in the best. And then when we had to deal with the other issue, too, of do we have all of these components manufactured in the United States? Do you go overseas? We had to deal with all that.
And what you found is Wisconsin is a real large, well-known area for producing plastic parts.
Well, and even on the molds itself, Sarah, I mean, there mm-hmm. are companies right here in Wisconsin that manufacture world-class, high-quality, made-in-the-USA injection molds. So we made that decision to stay here in Wisconsin. So we actually did, in fact, have all five of our injection molds manufactured right here in Wisconsin. And the products will actually be manufactured right in Green Bay. packaging, everything right here in Wisconsin.
So just to give an idea to the audience, how expensive are these molds? That was really one of your mm-hmm. major startup costs, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, the five parts required five molds. Now, we did purchase two cavity molds, so every time they open up, two components come out. But these five injection molds were $255,000. So I can see why a lot of folks that I run into over the course of time say, yeah, I've got this idea, and I got to the part of how expensive that was, and I thought, well, maybe it wasn't such a good idea. I mean,
it
makes you think about it. Okay, do you really want to keep going? But they tell us that on average you can maybe get a 30% price reduction buying overseas. But I just wanted to be able to watch this process happen. I can't drive to China. I could drive somewhere in Wisconsin. And we wanted to keep people here working as well. And they are world-class facilities right here in the state of Wisconsin. So we decided to go that route. That way, if there was any issues, concerns, or whatever that they tell me always happens, we're dealing directly with someone right here, no shipping problems and the like.
Yeah, if a problem occurs in a relationship, it's so valuable to be able to sit down and talk to the person on the other side of the table instead of texting them halfway around the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. The shorter the supply chain, the better is really what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and that interconnection between the mold builder and the injection molder.
Well, and then even this week, they started doing their sampling on the molds in Green Bay where they run them for about 4 hours and are spitting parts out. And then whatever happens at the end of the 4 hours, they take the mold out, and then later on their quality assurance people do all the measuring. Well, it's not uncommon that one of the parts isn't exactly meeting the specifications, so they, in fact, then may actually have to take the mold back. They tell me this happens regularly, and then make some adjustments to the mold, even though it was built as the drawing required. But if the mold part, the molded part comes out and bends a little bit when it dries, they might have to tweak the mold. Well, I thought that would be better done if it was done here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Rather than have to ship that back to China or overseas in general. So we made that call, but it took a little bit more revenue, but I'm not even hesitant on looking back at that and saying we did the right thing.
I think there's an inherent value to the mold manufacturer and your product manufacturer working with each other on a constant basis to make sure that quality is there.
Yeah. And then, you know, our partner in the project, this international manufacturer of products that's going to take it to market for us, they were comfortable. We kept them in communication. We kept updating them on the process so they knew when they could expect to get product from us as well. So it was quite a learning curve.
Well, in order to pay for a $250,000 mold, you have to be able to sell a lot of product.
Mm-hmm.
And that company gave you that avenue, as you pointed out earlier. They already have the distribution network. So they're going to introduce this product into their network, and it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the company, your company has this potential for selling this product, not just to this manufacturer, right?
Right.
You left yourself some wiggle room there.
Yeah, they were very good. Again, this company we keep referring to in general, I've been working directly with them for over 15 years. They've sponsored a lot of my training, so we've got a pretty good relationship. They were comfortable enough with the product design that they didn't even request drawings. They were comfortable enough in our background and our experience. And they left us enough room that we still have avenues to sell on our own. But we wanted to obviously give them an opportunity to get out there first with it because they did obviously offer us this distribution capability immediately that we didn't have to develop on our own, which would take a long time and a lot of resources.
I think it's fair to say that in the negotiations with this manufacturing company, this large firm, that you were able to position your company so that when they receive the goods, they pay you right away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait 30, 90, 180, 270 days to be paid. Cash flow is really important for a startup company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the benefits that comes from your negotiating skills and the confidence they have in you that they've known you for 15 years that brought all this together. I think that familiarity with each other is really what paid the dividends. And would it be safe, Joe, to say that 15 years ago you'd have never seen yourself here?
That's probably true. Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably safe there.
So you never know what the journey is going to unfold for you as you start down that journey. Opportunities
right.
will come at you from all different areas.
Yeah, but it is interesting, I think, that I know a lot of folks that have tried to develop products or have something going. But first off, you have to have enough technical background, technical expertise, especially like where I was in a position where I either had to develop a sales force and have people knocking on doors, hire sales reps, having the ability to partner with a company that put me in a position for instant sales and distribution was certainly ideal. I would have loved to have pitched that on Shark Tank and then have Mr. Wonderful ask me, oh, what's your goal for distribution here, Joe? How are you going to pull this off? That would have been a good one. Yeah,
you
well,
might
sure.
still get the chance.
Yeah, partnering with this company is leading then to the second phase of your business plan. Once you get the cash flow through the contract that you've negotiated, you're going to be able to start developing your own distribution in other areas.
Yeah, because it's interesting. I mean, it was really a win-win for us and them. We gave them a product that there was that's a solution to a problem in the market. They can be first out. They even had this product, the first product ever certified through the home ventilation industry for termination fittings. So they get a little bit of lead in market. We get an opportunity, and with the exposure that this partnership will provide, even if I don't continue that partnership with them, the product is out there in more of a market share than I could possibly develop on my own in 2 years.
No question about it. The partnership really helped to launch your product. With that, we're going to take our last break, Joe. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up the program, and we're really anxious to hear your biz tip, your little pearl of wisdom. You're listening to Biz Talk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040 EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. When it comes to business lending, we're all about finding solutions. I'm here with Brian Vanderwall of Vanderwall & Associates. We help Brian secure long-term SBA financing for both real estate and operating capital.
The Byline Small Business Capital team was able to provide me the opportunity to be more creative and branch out into more markets because I had the proper financing mechanism. Instead of looking at our assets as a service business, the Byline Small Business Capital team looked at our cash flow, looked at our projections, and really saw the need to grow. I think the decision-making process was quite amazing how fast it happened. They asked for all the right information of a small business, analyzed it quickly, had the leadership to make quick decisions, and that's not typical for a lender.
Byline Bank, we make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're in our final segment, and we are talking with Joe Nagin this morning. It's been a wonderful conversation about learning how to bring a product to market and doing it in a very exciting experience, learning kind of way. And we're going to get back to Joe in just a moment, but first we want to thank our sponsors for bringing Biz Talk to you each morning. We couldn't bring the show to you without their support, and those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts & Haling CPAs, Legal Business Edge, LLC, Sarah DeBruin, that's you. Thank you for your support, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Byline Bank, also Tundra Land. Want to thank Candeo Creative for creating and maintaining our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you've missed the show or you'd like to listen to a show again, you can do that at biztalkwithscore.com. We've been archiving shows there for 5 years. And also want to thank Jerry Mader and Larry Desch at the Business News for promoting our program in their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're in business or thinking of going into business and you're not subscribed to The Business News, gosh, for only $20 a year, you're going to pick up a lot of information about Northeast Central Wisconsin that will help you be more successful. So thanks to Larry and Jerry for their support in promoting BizTalk. Joe, we're wrapping up our program this morning, and we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about You want to bring something else up? You got something you want to talk about?
Well, it just may be interesting to look down the road a little bit.
Yeah. Like, what's the future hold?
Well, first off, I'm concentrating everything to get this one up and running. I'm not being sidetracked as many other items as I have that I'd like to develop. And I do have some other prototypes for solutions in the industry. Given that I'm running a full-time business at the same time, I'm concentrating just to get this one out. But once this is up and running on its own, then I'm going to look at some other ideas. I found what was interesting, having enough technical background, not a manufacturer of products at this time, I was able to look beyond what a typical manufacturer looks like because, with all due respect, they're in their own little environment and they sometimes don't see the real world. So for someone out there that's got a real good technical background in a given area, you may be able to see things differently than a manufacturer currently providing products. And if you can prove out that concept and be confident in what you've actually come up with, you may have some better inputs that might get you a partnership similar to what I came up with.
Joe, would you be willing to share some contact information if anybody in the audience might have a question about this process and how you worked your way through? And we don't want to share any proprietary information on this program, and it's not an invitation to anyone to call you for proprietary information. But you may be willing to answer some questions in general. How can folks get a hold of you?
Well, currently I'm only doing communication by email and telephone, so my email address is jnagan@wildblue.net. That's satellite internet service, jnagan@wildblue.net.
Yep.
Or they can call me at 766-7578. The website for Bathfan Solutions won't be active until the middle of June.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be a good resource for a lot of people to go to maybe pick up some information about Bathfan Solutions.
But on the concept, Tony and Sarah, about business development, the learning curve I went through was tremendous, but the number of local resources I was able to tap into here in the Valley, including both Sarah here and Tony, people have to reach out and look for local resources so you know the general availability of other resources that they can help you communicate and contact with is invaluable. So you got to make a lot of connections. Don't be afraid to admit you don't know something. Definitely admit that there's a lot of things you don't know. And it gives you a good sense of comfort as you're going through. Because when you get to the point where you got to sign a loan agreement or sign a contract with a manufacturer to make something for you at the kind of dollars that you could be talking about, it's nice to be able to pick up the phone, talk to one of your advisors and say, okay, are we sure we're ready for prime time here? Is there anything we missed? I think you need that, and early on I tried to do a little bit too much on my own, and it was just substantially much better once I had people come in to help me. But you also got to remember that that takes resources to do that too.
Yeah, and that's a team of people building a relationship with you, but you're the focal point. Your idea is the focal point, and you're the decision maker.
Well, that was interesting, because if you remember, the three of us with a couple other folks sitting around trying to make a decision, and after the four or five of you left, I'm thinking, holy mackerel, I've got these different opinions coming in. So you have to be able to sort through all those opinions that were valid in their own right, and you have to be able to make those decisions because in the end, if you're the one signing the agreements, you got to be confident with that.
I think there's an element, I'm going to mention it, that you're a very spiritual guy. You pray the rosary, you go talk to the birds. And I think that God draws straight with crooked lines, and if we just follow the journey, we're going to be in good hands. And Joe, I think you've done a lot of important thinking on this. You've been praying on it. And I think that it's coming to fruition for you. So congratulations.
Excellent.
On all that.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Sarah.
Yep.
Yeah. We ask for a biz tip at the end of the program. Got a little 30-second biz tip for us?
Right now?
Sure.
Excellent. My biz tip is that if you're thinking about developing a new product, you simply have to tie into local resources. And I would first start out with SCORE. Make sure you're confident in your partner and rely on them heavily.
Thank you, Joe. Joe, thanks for being our guest this morning. It's a great story. We want to wish you the very best, and hopefully we'll have you back in 6 months for another update.
Well, I hope so. Thank you, Tony and Sarah.
All right.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I think you would have made it on Shark Tank.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks for listening, folks. You've been listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.